Last week, we started this series on the Lord's Prayer. We called it the Sons and Daughters Prayer because we're praying to our Father. We're praying to our Dad. And we get to be His kids. So we talked last week about getting alone, not just with a to-do list of things that we should pray about, but getting alone with God for relationship with Him, friendship with Him, with our all-powerful, very involved, perfect Father. And we dared to suggest that it's possible to actually enjoy God as we worship Him in our prayer. Can that be possible? That we could enjoy God? Yes. Yes. And we're going to continue that today with the second part here. Your kingdom come. Now, we don't even have to put it on the screen, I'm guessing. We could begin the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, we'll stop right there. There's more to it, obviously. But your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Guys, where is the adventure in the church? Where is our sense of adventure? Where's our sense of the mission of God in our lives? I would venture this. If we haven't figured out the first part of coming to our Father and spending time with God in prayer, that lack of relationship with God in our lives, in a practical way, leaves us feeling a little lost. Like, where's the adventure? Where's the mission? In fact, we may even try some things and go, oh, that was just hard. That wasn't really adventure. That was just difficult. But prayer can help us discover and fuel God's mission among us, in us, and through us into the world around us. We'll see if you believe me when we get through this. We're reading the Lord's Prayer from the book of Matthew. It didn't show up there on the screen, but in Matthew chapter 6. And in this particular gospel, there's four gospels, the beginning of the New Testament of your Bible. There's Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. They were all written to different audiences with a different purpose in mind. A lot of the content is similar, some very much the same. But Matthew emphasizes the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. There's so much in there. Over 35 direct references to God's kingdom. And when John the Baptist came earlier in the book of Matthew, earlier in the gospel story, John the Baptist, this crazy guy that like ate locusts and lived in the desert, he said this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when John was arrested for this crazy message, calling people, even religious people, to repent, about the time he was arrested, Jesus began preaching the same message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's in Matthew 4:17. Interesting that when Jesus was starting his earthly ministry, he went out into the desert to be tested. And the devil came to him, and the final temptation that he said was, hey, I'm going to give you. And he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you'll just worship me. And Jesus' response was, worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And then Jesus would go on, as he's in the same context that we've been reading the Lord's Prayer, as he's preaching on this mountainside to a lot of people, he would say things like, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He seemed to talk a lot about the kingdom. So when we come in the Lord's Prayer and Jesus says, pray like this. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's maybe a good idea to say, what does this mean? What are we praying? I posted on Facebook this week. I said, if this prayer doesn't make you a little bit excited and maybe a little bit terrified, you probably are missing it. Because this is the most exciting part of this prayer to me. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's the most dangerous part of this prayer. Because that means any area of my life that doesn't line up with the kingdom of God or the will of God, and I'm praying, your kingdom come, your will be done, I'm in danger. Because one of us is going to have to shift. It's not going to be him. So when I pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, look out. Because I think God wants to fulfill that prayer. He wants to fulfill that prayer in your life and in my life. So let's look at this for a little bit. Your kingdom come, your will be done. What is a kingdom? Here's a really simple definition. It's the realm of the reign of a ruler. The realm of the reign of a ruler. Every kingdom has a king. If you don't have a king, it's not a kingdom. Well, you could have a queen. Where Joy's headed, they have a queen. They don't have a king right now, but they have a queen. A kingdom has a king. We have, you guys, the best king imaginable. Imaginable. When Jesus was born, the Magi came, the wise men from the east, they came because they had followed a star. They said, we saw it in the stars that a king has been born, and we've come to worship the king. This Gospel of Matthew very much is establishing the kingship of Jesus. Kingdom has a king. Can you pray a very simple prayer? Father, I embrace your rule through Jesus as my king. Can you pray that? Think about that. Can you say, Father, I embrace your rule through Jesus as my king? And there might be areas in your life where you're like, I don't know if I want to say that. In a lot of ways, yeah, I could pray that. But I got this little side game going on over here. I don't know if I really want him to be ruling in that area of my life. But when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, we're saying, Lord, we embrace your rule in our lives. We embrace you as our king. Now, a kingdom has a reign. A kingdom has commands. There are instructions. There is a way that the king wants his kingdom to operate. The will of the king is the law of the land in a kingdom. Now, can you say, Father, we embrace your reign and your right to direct our lives? I think sometimes it's our fear of really saying that that keeps us away from God. It's our fear of really embracing his reign in our lives that keeps us kind of a little bit distant. Like, I'm going to worship you. I can sing these songs, but I don't know if I want to come that close, because then everything that's in me kind of gets exposed. We've got a ruler, we've got a reign, and we've got a realm. And the kingdom of God is a really interesting realm in our day, in our time, because it's not a physical territory. We're not saying, God, let's go conquer the land. And we're going to go wipe out a city somewhere. The kingdom of God, the realm of God, is the hearts and the minds and the lives of every follower of Jesus anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world. That means if you are a follower of Jesus today, when you walked in here, a little piece of the realm of the kingdom of God walked in the doors of this building at 3307 West Rowan Avenue. This is a building. It's kind of a cool little room, a little rustic, I kind of like this room. We used to meet in the other one, and it was a little formal for us. And they agreed to give us this space over here. And like, oh, this feels a little more homey. But it's just a room. We together, as the church, the dwelling place of God, everywhere we go, we could be meeting in a community center. We could be meeting downtown somewhere. But wherever we go, the realm of God is going. Kind of fun. And in the realm of the kingdom of God, there's a culture. The kingdom has a culture, a way of doing things. It happens to be God's way of doing things. That doesn't mean that at Grace Church Spokane, we have everything figured out. And if you do it a little bit differently than we do, then you've missed it. God, we don't claim that we've completely got God 100% wired. We're willing to adjust and say, okay, God, obviously we need to let your kingdom come in the way we do church, the way we live life together. Guys, we are unique subjects of the King of Kings, living in under his reign, living in his realm, his culture, as his son citizens and daughter citizens. Can you pray, Father, we embrace your culture and we embrace our role as citizens of your realm. And I just shifted that from I to we. We embrace. Remember at the beginning of this prayer, it said, our Father. Not just my Father. Jesus could pray, my Father, because he is the only begotten Son of God. He was unique, extremely unique. Now, you can say that. You can pray that. Oh, my Father, yeah. But when Jesus is teaching us to pray and he's establishing a way for us to engage with God, and it's our Father, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we need to keep this in mind. We together are the kingdom culture. We bring the culture of the kingdom of God in our community. When we gather together, we're representing something. Father, we embrace your culture. We embrace our role together as citizens of your realm. Let's just pause. I've thrown out three prayers there. Father, I embrace your rule through Jesus as my King. Just between you and the Lord, can you? You might just shut your eyes and get rid of the distractions. Can you say that to him? Father, I embrace your rule through Jesus as my King. Father, I embrace your reign and your right to direct my life. And Father, we together embrace your kingdom culture and our role as citizens of your realm. And Lord, would you show us what that looks like? pray that in Jesus' name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, this has been preached in all kinds of ways. I think it's wise for us to remember that we live in a time of tension, a time of the kingdom present and the kingdom coming. Some people say the kingdom, the now and the not yet. And there's a tension there. Because when Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand, stuff happened, right? The kingdom is at hand. In fact, the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus after John had been arrested. And they said, are you the one? John sent them and said, are you the one or should we look for someone else? You know what Jesus said? Okay, go and tell John what you see and hear. What you see and hear. Not just go and tell John what I teach. Go and tell John what I look like. Go and tell John what you see and what you hear. There's a message and there is a mission happening. And he said, the blind receive their sight and the lame walk. When we were singing that song earlier, let your goodness flow to the high and low, to the broken heart, to the captive soul. And we're singing, let your kingdom come in us, let your will be done through us, in mercy and in love send us, to the rich and to the poor, to the leper and the lame. We didn't mean the ridiculous, the lame. Like, wow, that was a lame joke. You know, oh God, let your kingdom come to John because he tells bad jokes. Yeah. He's not talking about just, oh, that was stupid. Let your kingdom come. And Jesus says, the lame walk. People who couldn't walk would get up and walk. That's kind of a big deal if you can't walk. We had a friend at our house last night whose back has been out since December. And she was okay when she got there. But once we sat down for a while to talk, then when she stood up, she couldn't stand up. And she was just having to walk around like this. And I wish she had gotten healed last night. She didn't. But when you're broken and God breaks in on your life and suddenly you are healed, whether that's physical or whether that's emotional, whether that's in your mind, it's kind of a big deal. And Jesus said, okay, go and tell John the Baptist what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight. Is it a big deal when someone who can't understand the gospel understands the gospel and their eyes open up and you go, I get it. Jesus died for me. He was good on my behalf. I've never understood that before. And he rose again, proving that he could do what he said he could do. I get it. That's a big deal. But what Jesus was talking about was somebody who actually physically was blind and they couldn't see, and their eyes opened up and they could see. Now, that's a big deal too. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. That was Jesus' explanation of, yes, I'm the one. Are you really the Messiah? Are you really the King? Is this really the kingdom of God coming? And he said, yeah, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. So when we say, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, it's more than good theology. What we're saying is, God, let the advance of your kingdom happen among us. We want to see people's lives who are broken actually invaded by the goodness and the grace and the freedom and the healing of God. I told you, this is an exciting prayer and a little terrifying because it just raises the bar that we could expect God to actually move and do stuff in Spokane, Washington. I remember when, I don't remember it because I was a little kid. But when John Wimber started the Vineyard Church, before he had started the church, he had gone to pastor. He's reading his Bible. And he's reading all these miraculous things that Jesus would do. And then he's reading in the book of Acts and realizing that the church did the same stuff. The people of God actually did stuff. And he went to his pastor and he said, "When do we get to do the stuff?" And sadly, the guy said, "Well, that doesn't really happen anymore." How deflating. But Jesus says, "Guys, look at this. What do you see and hear?" So when we are asking for his kingdom to come on earth, we're embracing a few things. I'm going to back up, because when Jesus said, "The kingdom is at hand," he opened it with one line, one word: repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Kingdom of heaven is at hand. So when we say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we are embracing repentance. If we're not embracing repentance, we're not embracing the kingdom of heaven. We're not embracing the kingdom of God. We're embracing, I don't know what. Repentance means this. In case you're like, what does that word even mean? Repentance. It means turning around. Turning from our ways to the ways of his kingdom. In any and every area of our life. Hear that? Turning from our ways to the ways of his kingdom. In any and every area of our life. So when we're saying, "Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we're saying, "Lord, I want to adjust my life to your kingdom. I want to adjust my life to your ways." And watch out, because his ways, to quote our president, they're huge. They really are. They will mess with your life. I was happily serving in a church in Montana. I had been there for 14 years. I thought I was going to train leaders there and send people out to plant churches. And I would stay where all my wife's family were. A lot of my family were there. And as we prayed together for our nation, God dropped a bomb in my heart for Spokane, Washington. I couldn't wait to get here. I knew it was God when my wife couldn't wait to get here, because all her family was in Montana. When we pray and we say, "Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done," look out, because your life is going to adjust. God is going to adjust your heart. You'll find yourself passionate about people you were never passionate about before. You'll find yourself running into people that maybe are offensive to you, and God just won't let you get away from them. Because you're saying, "Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And God says, "Okay. Are you ready for that? Church, guys, are you ready for that? His kingdom coming in your life, his will being done in your life. It might mean a job switch. It might mean a city switch. It might mean, who knows?" I'm going to move on. So we're asking for his kingdom to come. It means we're embracing repentance. It also means we're embracing our representation of him. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says that we are Christ's ambassadors. We're his ambassadors in the earth. What does an ambassador do? An ambassador represents a leader. They're not that leader, but they're representing an entire culture, an entire people, an entire way of life. And they come in and they represent. In the kingdom of God, we represent the king. We're like diplomats. Some of you may not feel very diplomatic. Well, like it or not, you are one. You are a diplomat. You are an ambassador of the kingdom of God. So when we say your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, you are embracing, and we are embracing, representing God in the earth. We're not just people who pray. We're people who pray dangerous prayers and then act on them. We act on what we feel God is leading us to do. We are doers of kingdom works. I told you this was the most dangerous and terrifying part of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said this in John chapter 14. Truly, truly, I say to you. Now, it's Jesus. Is Jesus going to lie to you? You think anything Jesus says is going to be fairly trustworthy? I would think so. So when Jesus says, truly, truly, or verily, verily, he's making a point. Pay attention. Listen up. This is really important. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. We're called to represent him in the earth, not just to tell people about Jesus, but to bring the same culture that Jesus brought, to bring the same freedom that Jesus brought, and at times to bring the same healing power that Jesus walked in. We're called to bring the kingdom. Jesus said so. This is exciting. It needs a little bit of balance, because you could go, hey, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. Well, and in Jesus' name, Father, 1 million, 1 million, 1 million, come on. Maybe 2 million. That's not what we're talking about. You can say in Jesus' name, you're actually praying something very much in your own name. Whoops. You're praying your own will, and you can say, oh God, your kingdom come, your will be done. What we're talking about is actually discovering his kingdom in prayer. Discovering, God, what are you doing in our day, in our time? What is it that you're wanting to do in my city? And I'm going to move this forward really fast now. As I've already told you, everywhere a Christian walks, the kingdom of God is at hand. Everywhere you go, God goes. We're inviting, when we pray this, we're inviting his dominion. We're inviting his dominion in our lives. Now, you may have, if you're a theologian in the room, you may have heard about dominion theology. That's not what I'm talking about. Where it's all about us triumphing over the world. That's not what we're talking about. We're saying, Lord, your rule, your reign in my city, in my day, in my time, everywhere I go, let your kingdom come. Everywhere we go, let your kingdom come. One of our broader family of churches is called New Frontiers. One of our New Frontiers leaders, David Devenish, says this in his book. Is called, What on Earth is the Church Here For? The church exists to be the agent of the kingdom of God, the agent of God's rule on earth, and the means of taking the gospel of that kingdom to every people group. Not as a static pastoral community, but as a vibrant, active body, totally committed to world mission. I told you this was a good week for you to go, Joy. What on earth is the church here for? It exists for mission. I told you last week, as we're embracing the Lord's Prayer, this is a prayer that is birthed out of the mission of Jesus. Dave Devenish goes on to say this: churches are to be, here's a big, big churchy word for you, to be the eschatological community. That can be a tongue twister just to say. The eschatological community, demonstrating in this age the presence of the age to come. We are called to be the people. We are representing heaven and heaven's community now. The way we love one another, the way we serve one another, the way we reach out into the world together, we are representing, sadly, sometimes very poorly, we are representing heaven. This is who we're called to be. Told you this was a dangerous prayer. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're calling for our Father to release his kingdom among us and through us. Revelation 22:20, I'm landing this. Landing this plane. Revelation 22:20 says this, it's the final prayer in Scripture. Come, Lord Jesus. And we, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you are a Christian, we are all waiting for the final return of Jesus. When he comes in as the triumphant king, bringing his rule and reign. We're waiting for that. You bet. But while we wait for that, we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray it together. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name, let your kingdom be revealed in us. Let your kingdom be revealed among us. And let your kingdom be revealed through us to the world around us. Is that a prayer you could pray? Is that something you could say without, like, I don't know if I could really pray that. I'm going to give you an opportunity. It's on the screen there. Let's just pray this together. Father, in Jesus' name, let your kingdom be revealed in us, among us, and through us to the world around us. That is our prayer. Father, that is our prayer. Let your kingdom be revealed in all kinds of ways. Lord, let reconciliation break out among us. Let freedom from sin break out among us. Let freedom from all kinds of illnesses, all kinds of maladies, let freedom break out among us. Let your kingdom come here. Let your will be done here. Lord, in your mercy and in your love, break out in our hearts, in our families, in the community around us. Break out. We embrace this prayer, Lord. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's go to the final slide. Here's some ways that this has immediate application to our lives. Praying this prayer, saying, let this happen. Your kingdom come in me and in my family. And just think about that. What would that look like? God's kingdom coming, His will being done in you and in your family. You might immediately have things come to your mind of like, ooh, this is out of line. I would love to see the kingdom of God break in this area. I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a minute to pray. Lord, let your kingdom come in this area. What would that look like if the kingdom of God coming in our own church family, Grace Church Spokane? What does that look like? What does that look like if the kingdom of God coming in your neighborhood where you live? I live in the north end of West Central, and I'm passionate about my neighbors. Oh God, let your kingdom break in my neighborhood. Where do you live? Are you passionate about God's kingdom coming where you live? And not just where you live, but your sphere of influence, where you work, where you go to school, wherever you spend your time, where you can influence people. God, let your kingdom come there. Spokane and the greater metropolitan area of, the government says we have 600,000 people in the metropolitan area of Spokane. Now that's because they include Coeur d'Alene and Hayden. Don't tell everybody in Idaho that they're a part of the Spokane metropolitan area. Don't like that. So if you take that out, you got 100,000 over there and 500,000 on the Washington side. That's a lot of people. God, let your kingdom come in our city. Let your will be done in our city. And in the USA, people are praying like crazy. I love it. People all over the world are praying like crazy for us right now. The world thinks we're whacked. Half our population thinks we're whacked. Half our population thinks we're not. You know what? We all need to pray. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. And I'm going to show you one more. Right now, in our church family, we have a brand new church plant launching. We have two leaders from our church in Bozeman, Montana, called Bozeman on Mission. They are in South Africa right now to be with Colin and Pam Nichols as they launch Joy in the City, which is a brand new church. I got to pray with Colin and Pam in Dubai as it was on their heart to move to Bloemfontein and start this. They're on the ground. It's advancing. The kingdom of God is advancing. And this morning we get to pray into it. You might be really passionate about one of these areas or two of these areas. I'm passionate about like all of them, but I promise I'm not going to just sit here on the mic and pray for an hour. But let's all stand up. We're going to stand up. This is how we're going to end today. And then I'm going to tell you this. If you're in our private Facebook group, you already got this message. We're going to wait a few minutes when we're done. And then we'll talk about the kingdom of God advancing and moving forward. We get to do a wedding ceremony for Eric and Bree today. And I've got family with you today. They have said, look, we want to honor God in our relationship. And we're going to do a bigger public fun party and wedding in the summer. But they said, we want to go ahead and say our vows now. We want to do this and honor God. That is a sign of the kingdom of God coming. And we want to celebrate with you guys today. That is very cool. So guys, look at these areas. Think about where you're passionate. And we're going to take just a little bit and say, God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in that area on earth as it is in heaven.